standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Ryan hanging out with us. And it's a Thursday edition. So much to get to. So many things to talk about. So much fun to be had. We'll talk some Houston Texans stuff a little bit later. Biggest takeaways from day two of Texans training camp.
Let's do it. Okay.
I love football. It's so great to have football on our timeline.
It really is. It's so nice.
Like, I totally understand, like, you know, these are football players doing football things on a football field. Let's not overreact to all things training camp. Like, totally get it. Totally get it. But how sweet is it that we have football on our timeline?
It's just, it's refreshing. Feels like we're back in the golden era. The Astros are good. Football's back. The Rockets got a shooting coach. We're cooking.
What do they call him? The shot doctor? I think I like the doctor of shot.
I think I also like the doctor of shot. We should start calling him that.
The doctor of shot.
Yeah, I like that better.
Yeah, so lots to get to today. We'll talk some Houston Texans football. D'Amico was dropping bars out there today. D'Amico was dropping some wisdom. It sounded like D'Amico Ryans was me today. So we'll listen to some D'Amico earlier, mostly because of the Twitchers. We'll also talk to Big Sarge. People love it whenever Big Sarge is on our radio wave. Like, mm-hmm. They love it. You should see the outpouring of love that Big Sarge gets whenever he's on our radio waves. So we're going to have Big Sarge at 5. Trisha Whitaker, who is the sideline reporter for Apple TV, Astros, Rangers, will be on Apple TV tomorrow. I know everybody loves that. Joe, have you canceled your subscription or do you still have it?
Going to have to re-up it tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Well, you can just watch all the shows. I tell you this all the time, and then you don't watch the shows.
I know.
But Trisha Whitaker will be joining us at 3:30, talk some Stros too, which Astros, don't look now. Don't look now, but the Astros are a half game back. A half game back in the American League West because the Rangers lost to Tampa about an hour ago. So,
chase the fight!
Guys, the Astros are right in the thick of it.
Chase the fight.
They're officially average, by the way. Officially average, 55-55. First time they've been average since 6-6. They've been chasing average and mediocrity for the last, let's see, they played 110 games. They were 6-6, 12. What is that, 98? It took 98 games to find mediocrity again, guys.
They found it, baby.
They have chased mediocrity, and they're here. Now, here's what's awesome about mediocrity in the American League West. They're only 5 games back in the division. Mm-hmm. Here's what's awesome about mediocrity in the American League. They are just 1 game back of the American League wild card. Here's what's great about mediocrity in the American League, Joe. The Astros trail the Chicago White Sox for a bye.
Yeah, they do.
In the first round of the American League playoffs by
2.5 games.
2.5 games.
That's absurd.
That's what's great about being the average American League.
I just recorded Inside the Icebox with Sean. And it just, like, as we were recording, I was like, hold up. Like, the 2 seed's in reach. A bye in the playoffs.
A bye is in reach,
baby. It's unbelievable. They haven't been 500 since April 7th.
And it's not like you're chasing the Yankees here. You're chasing the stinking Chicago White Sox who have been in the dumpster for the last decade.
Yeah.
In that armpit of a city known as Chicago.
Yeah, just like the first part there, but okay.
Yeah, that last part was a little unnecessary. But what a great time to be alive in Houston. What a great time to be alive as a Houston Astro fan in America.
Great time.
Great time. What a great time to be average. I mean, we can kind of relate.
Yeah, we're just average.
We can relate to average.
Yeah.
People are like, you're not even that. Okay, well, why are you listening? Yeah, Astros are average. An average in the American League West gets you half game back in the division. Here's what's really cool, because that series starts tomorrow. We'll talk to Trisha Whitaker at 3:30, sideline reporter for Apple TV. It'll be a fun conversation. It's going to be a fun series. Hunter Brown, Nathan Eovaldi match up tomorrow, which is kind of a big one because the Astros will send Ronel Blanco to the mound against Jacob deGrom on Saturday. A win on Friday would be nice. But here's the cool thing, and I hesitate to say this because I want to avoid the letdown. But did you know the Astros are only 1 win away from the Silver Boot? Woo. And it's not so much the silver boot that we're chasing here. We're chasing the fight, not the silver boot. But the tiebreaker is very important these days. There's no more game 163. So if you wish, yes, you want to win the series, but that tiebreaker is critical. That tiebreaker is big. So getting that tiebreaker against the Rangers will be pretty important, Joe.
Yeah, chase the boot first. Get that. Gets the tiebreaker. And then be in first place in the division when the deadline gets here.
What a time to be alive in Houston. What a time to be alive at the Dyke.
Can't believe we're here. That's unbelievable.
55. They've chased 500. They're here. They're mediocre. They're awesome.
They got some help. But
what's that?
They got some help.
Yeah.
Because the Angels are a travesty to baseball.
Yeah, they're not good. They're not good. I mean, they very easily, the Astros could have lost all three of those games.
Oh, yeah.
Without, you know, really much to do. Like, they could have very easily done that. Lead story from yesterday's game? What do you think the lead story is from yesterday's game?
I know what you think it is.
Yeah, no one seems to know this, though. Like, was no one watching the game?
Yeah, so at first, I did not notice the Jordan hand thing. And then I saw you tweet about it, and I was like, okay, I'm going to keep an eye on this. And I see what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, they talked about it on the broadcast.
Yeah.
Like, they brought it up.
I'm trying to good vibes it that we're okay. But it probably is the lead story. It's just it's hard for it to be the lead story, maybe because it's just such a question mark.
Yeah, for those that are not aware, because these beat writers, like, I guess were asleep at the wheel, no one even asked Joe a spot about it. Chandler Rome today on his Twitter was like, what should I be worried about? He was unaware of it completely. Right. Clown.
Yeah, I think maybe it's just the press box is that bad there and they couldn't see it?
Maybe he wasn't there. I don't know if he was there.
That's very possible.
He doesn't go to all the series. I have no idea.
Wasn't just him, though. Like, when I saw you tweeting about it, I went to find McTaggart's timeline and I didn't see anything from him either.
Yeah, so I went and grabbed the videos of it today because, I mean, they were literally talking about it during the game.
Yeah.
I mean, TK and Jeff Blum were like, oh, there's his hand. And look, if you were, you know, just saw the score, you only follow a couple people to get your Astros news. Jordan Alvarez in the fourth inning in a two-strike count. Swung it a changeup, chased the zone too, chased one that was down low, and he got it off the end of the bat, which, you know, we've all played baseball, maybe not to the level that I have. I was a 400 hitter in high school, 2 for 5, but we've all played baseball before, and we know what it feels like whenever you get one off the end of the bat. You cap one, sends that sensation down to the hand, you get the reverb, you get that really, really bad sting. Blum mentioned it on the broadcast that you get like a handful of bees, which, you know, that's like an inside baseball term, but it's because you get sting, right? You get the sting. You just get that weird sensation in your hand. It hurts. You get the reverb. You're shaking it off. It really hurts on a cold day. But if you're a 400 hitter in high school, you probably don't feel it that often. But if you're not a 400 hitter in high school, you probably feel it quite a bit. So, like, that happened. Okay. All right. You know, you're going to have that happen even to the best hitters in the world. They're going to, you know, be a little early, get one off the top of the bat. And sting really, really bad. So, you know, no big deal there. He comes up, I believe it was in the sixth inning. I think, fifth, sixth inning, something like that. His next at bat, he swings at the very first pitch and sends a weak fly ball into left field. Okay, he doesn't show any signs of the hand, whatever. His next at bat, he gets intentionally walked. So he didn't even get an opportunity. But then the Shin broadcast, after Isak Paredes breaks his bat, it, like, pans to Jordan as he's at first base. And he's, like,
he's maneuvering his
hand. He's like stretching his hand. He starts to massage his hand, and it's like, what in the world? Why is the reverb that happened a few innings ago still bothering him? So that was a sign of concern. Now, he stayed in the game, which is a good sign. His last at bat in the ninth inning, he hit a rocket down the right field line foul. So that's a very good sign. But Espada was not asked about it after the game. So that's where we stand on Jordan's hand. My uneducated guess here is that he just got it off the end of the bat and it stung. What I don't like is that he was still messing with it 2 innings later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think right now it's like the kind of maybe the biggest story right now, because no one was asked about it last night, is which is what does the lineup card look like tomorrow?
Yeah,
when it drops, is he going to be in it? And if he's not, then it's going to be a huge red flag of what's going to happen, because there's an off day today. No one's speaking to the manager. No one's reported on anything just yet. Even if I think the Astros are pretty tight-lipped at this point with injuries, they wouldn't probably answer any questions today. They want to see how it feels tomorrow. But that is probably the biggest story, because it's great to be back to 500. It's great to be, you know, above 500 on the road this season for the first time all year. But if Jordan's hand is bothering him in any way, that's bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's my guess is he's in the lineup tomorrow, and it's no big deal. Like that's my educated guess. And if this was any other player, this is no big deal. It's no big deal if this is any other player. But because it's the MVP and how valuable Yordan Alvarez is to you, and because he has a history of hand issues, it's obviously like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You'd like to have a little bit of, you know, some more answers. You'd like to have the comfort. And look, his at bat in the ninth inning hit a rocket down the right field line. Yordan Alvarez was also taking batting practice in West Palm Beach with a broken bone in his hand.
Yeah.
So, like, is it one of those things where he loves the season he's having, he doesn't want to be labeled as injury prone, and he's trying to fight through it? You know, hopefully not. I don't think that it is, but I think there's like a 5% chance that it could be. Now, another good sign, I think, is that this was his left hand. This was the top hand on the bat. It was his left hand, which, if you remember, whenever he broke the fourth metacarpal in his hand, it was his right hand.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the hand where he last had a broken bone in it. So it's good, I think, that it was the left and not the right. But still of note, because look, you guys are making too big of a deal about this. Yordan is a little bit fragile at times. Yordan's the most important player, not only on your team, but in the entire sport. He has a history of injuries. And if you were to lose him, your season's over. So that's why this is a deal. This is why it is worth talking about, and I think the lead story.
No, I totally agree with you. I think what you said that I agree with the most, if it was anyone else, I wouldn't really care. I'd just be like, all right, like, let's see what the lineup looks like, see if they're out for a day, wait to hear what Joe Espada says. But this is the guy that had injuries last year with his hand that goes back to Dusty Baker when he didn't know which hand it was, all these different things. Like, it has been a problem of all the Yordan things, smoke, pillows, fireworks, whatever. The hand is the one that has plagued him the most consistently, I would say, over his career. So it is concerning. The one after the walk where he's like, it looks like he's massaging like between his pointer finger and his thumb, like in that little tendon area right there on his hand. Like that is, it's just not a great visual in terms of not wanting to panic. Like, I think I'm surprised more Astros fans aren't freaking out.
See, him messing with the hand after he's intentionally walked is more significant than him shaking his hand after he got one off the end of the
because bat. He didn't do anything after the walk. It's just hurting.
Yeah.
Or uncomfortable in some aspect.
But it's also innings later. Like, yeah. we've all gotten one off the end of the bat, it stings, you're shaking your hands out, but then that's gonna go away in 5 minutes. It's there 35 minutes later. It was weird. Hopefully it's nothing. I think it's nothing. I think we'll see him in the two spot tomorrow. But it's worth the question.
But even,
I'm sure Espada will be asked about it pregame tomorrow now that people are aware of it. But it is kind of shocking that people weren't aware of it.
Well, even if he's in the lineup tomorrow, it also goes past that because we know Yordan played through hand injuries in the past or hand pain in the past. So if, you know, on the Apple broadcast when he gets a single in the first inning, if he's at first base and he's holding his hand and playing with it, it's like even being in the lineup, that's concerning. So I think it's something to watch just over the weekend, just to see how it plays out. If he grabs it again, if it seems to be bothering him, it's definitely something to keep an eye on at this point. And it's totally fair why it's the lead story from last night's game.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I could also see him wanting to play. And look, the Astros would be like, we're going to take more imaging and stuff. It's worth a look.
Yeah, just to be safe.
Like, if Dana was watching at home, I don't know if Dana made the trip or not. If Dana was watching at home and he saw that, like, I'm calling the doctor and being like, let's get an MRI as soon as he lands in Houston today. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just imaging. And again, I think that there's a 5% chance this is anything. I think it's a 95% chance he's got one off the end of the bat. It was a little bit of a stinger and he's going to be totally fine. But it's Yordan. He's the MVP. And that guy sneezing makes me pay attention to.
Yeah, Yordan
out of bed. Like, I'm watching to see how he's rolling out of bed. That's how important he is.
Yordan rule number 90 or whatever we're on now.
Yeah.
Any sign of discomfort, MRI. X-rays. Yeah. Do it all.
You know? Like, whenever he walks to first base, you know, we're watching him with a close. It's a precious cargo.
Mm-hmm.
Yordan Alvarez. All right, that's where we stand with the hand of Yordan. Right, the left hand. Last year was the right hand. More to get to from the Astros game when we come back. Let's talk about Hayden Wesneski, his first start back. What'd you think there? I have a question on a few things. Brian Abreu, how much faith do you have that he's back? How much faith do you have in Yiner? And are the Astros, pardon the pun, showing their hand not announcing a starter on Sunday when it was Tatsuya Imai's turn? We'll discuss that when we come back. Trisha Whitaker, maybe she talked to Joe Espada today. Maybe she'll break some news with us at 3:30. Biggest day two takeaways of Texans training camp. Could a contract really be on the table, too, for C.J. Stroud? So much to do today. So much fun to be had. You can be involved. 713-780-ESPN.
Here's my number. So call me, maybe.
Or text 713-780-3776. Definitely don't go on Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN975.
In his underwear, living in his mother's basement.
Madhouse. YouTube, ESPN Houston. TikTok, ESPN975. You can find us on Twitter, ESPN975 as well. Joe is at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. We are Jeremy and Joe on ESPN975.
ESPN975.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Junkie says, rest assured, Jordan's in great hands, signed to Astros medical staff. To be fair, they've been better this year, but yeah. Point taken. Hayden Wisniewski started his first game yesterday. 3 runs, 7 hits, 5 2/3. Walked a couple, struck out 4. What'd you think of the former Cubby?
I thought it was pretty good. I know it was a bumpy start there, obviously, but and people, Jeremy, were panicking.
What panicking? What did I say that was so panicky?
Got trade for an arm.
You don't think that?
No, I think they do, but not because
of Wisniewski.
All right,
then how's that panicky, if you agree with me?
Because it seemed like you were doing it because of Wisniewski.
No, I was. You're right.
Well, he settled in nicely. Like, just, you know, maybe some jitters. First time back in a long time. Thought he settled in really nicely and pitched well in yesterday's game.
Oh, he did. Yeah, he settled in nicely. I mean, like, optimistically, you think that he can be, like, a back end of the rotation guy? You know, which the Astros could use. You know, they could use a guy who goes 5-6 innings and keeps him in the game. You know, he's not a middle of the rotation guy, I don't think. But he's talking after the game. He said the thing that he was most disappointed with were the leadoff walks. He said I didn't really notice this during the game. Shame on me. He said that he abandoned the windup after he walked the leadoff man in the first and the second.
Oh.
Which, okay, all right. I like that you're making adjustments, big dog.
Interesting. I guess I didn't catch that either.
Yeah, he said he abandoned it. He said he stopped doing it because he had a leadoff walk in the bottom of the first, leadoff walk in the bottom of the second, and he said he did not go out of the windup the rest of the way. And he didn't walk anybody the rest of the way.
Then maybe the windup's just gone for Hayden Wisniewski now.
Probably gone forever.
At least for the rest of the season.
Maybe he gives himself like one walk in the windup, and then he's like, all right, see ya.
Which is like a great, I love that strategy. You're just like, all right, I'm going to use the windup. If I walk someone, it's got to go.
I used to want Russell Westbrook whenever he was a Rocket. I gave him a 3-3-point miss window.
Mm-hmm.
He could shoot as many threes as he wanted up until the point where he missed three. And then he had to stop. So if he had a good shooting game, you know, go 4-for-7, okay, well, no big deal. But you start 0-for-3, you're done. You go 1-for-4, you're done. Amin Thompson, I kind of want to follow the same rule. Maybe not three.
Does he get three?
He probably gets two until he shows that he can actually make them at a consistent pace.
Yeah, they have the doctor of shot.
The doctor of shot, we can extend him up to three.
Yeah.
Now, but Wisniewski was good. Brian Abreu looked really good. 4-out save yesterday for Brian Abreu, by the way. Velo's back. Spin is back. I crunched the numbers, Joe. Brian Abreu in his last 19 outings has a 1.45 ERA. 2.84 FIP, if you're into that. I'm not. He has 23 strikeouts, 5 walks, 18 2/3. How much faith do you have in Brian Abreu in leverage situations late in game, setting up Josh Hader once again?
I'm all in, man. I'm all in. I have full faith. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm in, too.
It looks nasty. I mean, it's Oker, Abreu. I don't really care who gets the eighth. I think that's it's matchup based at that point. But I have full faith that 7-8-9 for the Astros right now is the strength of this team.
Yeah,
collectively, like I trust those guys more than I trust the lineup overall, than I trust the pitching staff overall. I'll throw in De Los Santos, who I'm back in on now as well. It was a moment of weakness for me with De Los Santos, but I'm back in. The back end of the bullpen is. It reminds me, not to the elite level, maybe overall of 22.
Whoa.
But pretty, but it's, I feel that comfortable at this point with the way that Abreu's pitching.
Yeah. Like,
you know, Oaker, Abreu, and Hader are just going to pitch very, very well. And if you have a lead, you should be okay.
Yeah. I would even throw Souza into the mix there a bit. Like, whatever lefty that you want, like, because you're going to need lefties in a couple of pockets, right? Like, whether he comes in the fifth or sixth, and then you're going to need a lefty, maybe it's in the eighth. Because I like what you said. It's more about the matchup than it is the inning for me. Like, mm-hmm. Hader's going to have the ninth. Okay, that's his. But seventh or eighth can flip-flop based on whatever the pocket is. You need a righty against the seventh inning pocket? Okay, it's Abreu. The next night you need a righty against the eighth inning pocket? Okay, what's Abreu there? And then vice versa for the lefties. So I'm with you. Like, Hader's your dude, and then you have like a combo, platoon, setup situation, Okert, Souza, whichever one you have the most confidence in that night, and then Abreu for the righties. I'm with you. I trust it. The bullpen's been good. It's been a good bullpen. Especially since Hader came back and Abreu started to find it. So I'm there with you as well. Here's another trust one for you, Joe. Where are you in the trust of Yiner Diaz, who homered yesterday? Also had a four-hit game, Yiner. Kind of a fugazi four-hit game, right? He had the little blue. He had the bad throw in third. But, you know, four-hit night. He hit the home run. You know, he had some ribbies yesterday, a couple of ribbies for Yiner. Yiner, since coming off the injured list, Joe, is hitting .258. It's good, above average. .296 on base, a little bit below average, and a .462 slug, which is good. Has 5 homers in 25 games as well. If you just play that out to 150 game pace, that's a 30 home run season. So, like, okay, I like this version of Yiner. Also, it converts to about 114 OPS plus. We know that 100 OPS plus is average. Where are you on the confidence of Yiner?
I'd say it's growing significantly and feeling more comfortable with him just back there. I mean, I think back to when he first came back, I was very pro. If you play 6 games in a week, he should probably catch 2 of them and DH one day. And that's how in very limited sample size at that point, and just keep him, you know, where he's at because of how good the pitching staff had gotten with Vasquez. I'm now very comfortable with Yiner being the dude. And Vasquez, whether he's a personal catcher for someone or maybe he just – you know, obviously catching it on a day game after a night game, stuff like that. So I'm getting there with them.
Yeah.
Like I feel much better with them. I think they're still. I wish the old Yiner still, like, the batting average could be a little bit higher, but the power is nice to see. So it's the comfortability with him back in the lineup every day is growing.
I think his bat needs to be in the lineup more. Actually, only played once in this 3-game series, but I'm not sure it should be as a catcher because I don't love him as a receiver. I've been on this for years. Whenever people were like, "Oh, he's a good receiver," no, watch the game. He's not a good receiver. But I do think that he should be in the lineup more. The issue is, how do you do that? Because the Astros' record with Vasquez catching is really, really good.
It is.
With Yiner catching, it is not good. Do I think that there's some correlation there? I do. So I think that you play Yordan in left field more at home to open up the DH for Yiner.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. As long as the hand's okay, I'm good with that.
Well, if the hand's okay, it just opens up the DH spot and you don't have to play Yordan in left.
Yeah, yes, true. No, but I think it's Yiner. It was so bad to start the season, then the injury. It's when we talk about adding at the deadline and lengthening this lineup. Now I think I'm at the point where when we talk about lengthening the lineup today and tomorrow, getting into Monday, is just, hey, you also have to factor in Yiner Diaz into this equation of him and Vasquez are good enough right now with where they're at to be good contributors to this team.
Yeah. I counted how many seconds that it took you to stop talking after Brian whispered in your ear to break.
Is that what he said?
You didn't hear him?
I just heard it.
Oh, okay. Well, then I guess you're let off the hook. 713-780-ESPN. Trisha Whitaker, sideline reporter for Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV. She's going to have the call Friday at the Dyke between the Astros and the Rangers. I probably shouldn't say that when she's on. She'll join us when we come back. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
Football fans, it's almost time to draft your team and kick off another season. This year, take your fantasy football draft parties to Twin Peaks, where there's 29-degree cold beers, made-from-scratch food, wall-to-wall TVs that make your local lodge the ultimate draft day headquarters. If you're waiting until after the preseason games, you're doing it during some of the games, you can watch all of the action right now, so you can be drafting as you're seeing what's going on, or during a UFC fight night. during baseball games. There's so many sports going on, so all those TVs, it's the perfect spot to hold your fantasy football draft in 2026. Round up your league, grab a table, and get ready for the picks, the rivalries, and a full season of bragging rights. Whether you're defending your title or drafting for the first time, start your fantasy season at Twin Peaks. Book your fantasy football draft party at your local lodge today. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views.
It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Trisha treating us like Brian's prom date, no showing.
Damn.
Maybe she'll be late. Maybe she'll be
that
like
was
Joe's prom
so
date.
That's so hard. That's the meanest thing you've ever said.
Maybe she'll be like Joe's prom date. She'll show up late.
Nah, you didn't save it.
We'll see. We'll see. Well, she has a chance. It's up to her. Either she doesn't show and she's Brian's prom date, or she's late and she's Joe's prom date.
I can't believe you said that. No more double espressos, man.
He said he didn't.
Espressos.
I asked him before the show.
Espressos.
I know. That's my
point. I asked him before the show. He said he didn't have any.
I didn't say that. You're lying.
Yes, you did. You said you had coffee, but you waited to have espresso until later.
No, ask Maves. Maves was in the room with you. I said that I'm working. I said I had a double shot earlier, and I just made a double shot today, and it's right here. I've had four total shots of espresso along with a pot of coffee.
A pot of coffee?
Yeah, I shared it with my wife, though. She had some of it. We made like 10 cups. I probably had like 7 of them. She probably had 3. So 7 cups of coffee, maybe 4.
That's a lot of coffee.
Shots of espresso. Probably more espresso than it is coffee. Oh, it turns out, as we head out to the HRMP guest line, joining us now, Trisha Whitaker, sideline reporter for Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV. Apple TV has the game tomorrow, Rangers-Astros, the final series of the Silver Glove. The Astros with an opportunity to win the Silver Glove with just a win, so they can do that tomorrow, and then also clinch the tiebreaker with the Rangers. Trisha, thank you for joining us. Appreciate you jumping on. And all of a sudden, this series has some stakes. Rangers lost today. Astros are only a half game back. You got a battle for first place on your hands tomorrow. Pretty exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a huge game. Like you said, only a half game back. You know, I think we didn't expect for this final series of the season between these two to be that important, but I'm so excited, you know, that it is, and I think tomorrow's going to be a really good game on Apple TV.
You know, we talk so much about Yordan Alvarez and how great he is. He's the betting favorite right now to win MVP in the American League. What's your just impression of him and what you expect to see him in tomorrow's game or whenever you call an Astros game?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited to watch him tomorrow. I believe he is one of our pregame interviews tomorrow. Right. So I'm really excited to talk to him. And it's been really, really cool to see what he can do with a full season healthy. I believe he's played in all but 2 games this year for the Astros, something like that. And I think it's really cool to watch him in the midst of, you know, becoming one of the best in the league and in this MVP race. And I think, you know, he's been really good against the Rangers. I think 8 home runs in 10 games in 2026 against the Rangers. So I'm really hoping that his dominance continues tomorrow. You know, we would really appreciate that on Apple TV. And also I know it's a big weekend for him. He's got his jersey, his bobblehead, I believe. And then it also, I was reading up on how it's the 10-year anniversary of his trade from the Dodgers. And, you know, obviously the Astros are thanking their lucky stars that all worked out for him. And I've just been so impressed with what he has done this season, and I'm really excited to talk to him tomorrow.
You nailed it. 108 games out of the 110 that the Astros have played. Putting up an MVP season has been awesome. Have you talked to the Astros at all today about him? Because yesterday he in the fourth inning, I think it was, he got one off the end of the bat and was kind of shaking his hand. There was a shot of him later where he was still massaging his hand. Now, he stayed in the game, finished the game, but we're trying to, you know, see if the, you know, it's all clear with Yordan. You haven't spoken to them today, have you?
I have not. So good job at trying to get that information, you know, out of me. But I have not spoken to them today, so I have no idea if he's okay. I'm just certainly hoping that he is so that we can chat with him tomorrow.
Me too.
I guess it's been about a month since you guys had the Astros last on Apple TV. I think it was the Rays game on June 30th. This team's obviously changed quite a bit now, back to 500. From afar, what do you see as the biggest reason why the Astros are in the position where this series matters so much coming up this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you start with the guy that we just talked about, Alvarez, having that MVP caliber season. And then you also look at some of the spark plugs in the lineup that you've got. You've got Jeremy Peña. And I think also, I think it can't be overlooked what Espada has been able to do with this group. I hear nothing but good things about the way that he handles the clubhouse. And I think that that probably is an overlooked thing in this clubhouse turnaround. Because just with my time with him, I just think that he's an awesome manager, and all of his players talk about how great he has been this season specifically too. And I think it's good for baseball, you know, when the Astros are better. I know in April they kind of hit rock bottom and it wasn't looking good. We had the Astros too at the very, we had them opening weekend, against the Angels. And I remember when we left town, kind of watching what had happened, and then also watching the climb back to 500 and watching the climb back to the top of the division, or at least a half a game back or whatever it is. And I think that turnaround has been fueled by a lot of different guys, but I would point to Joe Espada and obviously Alvarez as the two leading figures in that clubhouse right now.
Tricia Whitaker, sideline reporter for Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV. They'll have the coverage of the Astros and Rangers tomorrow. I always like the games on Apple TV. I think y'all do a fabulous job. The production is amazing. You mentioned Joe and Yordan, kind of the catalysts for turning the season around. They haven't gotten a whole lot out of Hunter Brown. Most of that was because he was injured and a little shaky coming back. Really good in his last start. He'll be on the mound tomorrow. You'll have a great pitching matchup with Hunter Brown and Eovaldi. How important do you think he is to this stretch drive for the Houston Astros?
Oh, I think it cannot possibly be overstated how important he is. I know he suffered, what was it, a shoulder strain in April? And I know that, you know, in a five-start stretch, I believe, he was staring at, like, what was it, like a 6 ERA or something. It wasn't good. Command was an issue. And I think in that start against the White Sox, he showed how important he is. Especially against a productive, youthful lineup like the White Sox, which sounds funny coming out of my mouth because, like, you know, they were so bad last year, but they're really, really good. And so I think for him to have an outing where he looked more like himself, dominant, commanding, and efficient in seven shutout innings, I think that was huge for him, and I think that was huge for the team. And I loved what Joe Espada said after the game. He said he looks really pissed off because, you know, if you listen to him talk about you know, those five games that he had before that. And he talked about holding himself to a much higher standard and that he was underperforming. So, you know, it's not always easy for a guy to especially a pitcher, to come off the IL with after a shoulder strain that heavily affects you. But maybe going through those tough five games and then coming out and having that performance against the White Sox is really what he needs to become the leader, at least on the pitching staff in that clubhouse down the stretch, because you're right, they need him desperately.
I'm curious, as we get closer to Monday, the deadline, this Astros team, as you just said, Hunter Brown, what he did in his last start, we talked about Yordan Alvarez, Jeremy Peña, and the Astros being in playoff position. Do you view the Astros as a team that should be an aggressive buyer to try to make that push? They're only 2.5 games back of the White Sox for the second seed in the American League right now. Just what do you view them as a deadline team right now?
Yeah, I mean, you have to think that they will be, at least this is what I would think from the outside looking in, is that they would be buyers, especially with this comeback. And, you know, I know that Dana Brown confirmed that, well, at least from some reports, that they're not going to sell. And I think that you can't do that at this point, right? So, I know they need some outfield offense, they need some starting pitching, and they need some bullpen depth. So I know there's been, at least you guys know better than I do, but I've read, you know, a lot of different rumors. I've heard some things about the George Springer stuff. I've heard some things about some outfielders from the Rockies. So I mean, you would have to imagine that they go for one of those groups that I just mentioned, outfield offense, starting pitching, bullpen depth, because they are in the playoff hunt. And you know what the Astros do late in the season. And you know what they do in October if they make the playoffs. And so I think, you know, if they are buyers, those are probably the position groups that they're going to be eyeing.
Tricia, any must stops for you whenever you're in Houston?
Oh my gosh, what is that bar called, you guys? It's like it's kind of like a grimy bar. Like it's called the Dirt Bar. Have you guys ever been to the Dirt Bar?
I think that's where all our junkies hang out. Yeah, whenever they leave their mother's basement, they like to go there.
That is so funny. You know who got me into that bar? Brian Anderson, BA. He's the analyst for the Tampa Bay Rays. And I was with the Rays for 6 seasons. And every time we would come to Houston, we would stay with the team at the Four Seasons Hotel right there. And we'd always walk over to the Dirt Bar. And I'm like, BA, this is so not my type of place. But, like, I became, like, kind of endeared to that bar. And so that's where we would always go. Tonight we're going to some place called the Goat something. I don't know what it's called.
Goat Burger? Rodeo Goat?
No, what is
Rodeo
it?
Goat.
You guys, I don't.
Is it Rodeo Goat?
Oh, the Rodeo Goat. Rodeo Goat.
That's where Verlander place. Verlander would go there before his starts and have a cheeseburger.
The Rodeo Goat?
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know if I believe you. Is that true?
No, I promise you. No, I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious.
So you're telling me I should get a burger tonight at the Rodeo Goat?
Well, I'm not telling you what to get. I'm just telling you that Verlander got the burger there. I've never been, honest.
I just looked it up. Yeah, he famously – yeah, you know what? It checks out. Wow. Okay.
Did you think I was lying to you?
What'd you say?
Did you think I was lying?
You know, I don't know. I'm pretty gullible. So, I don't know. Maybe you have an agreement with the Rodeo Goat. You have to always mention him on air, and so you just said that.
That's fair. That's a fair point. No, that's a sincere story. He would go have burgers there. I think it was the day before starts. Maybe it was the night before. I might be getting the details wrong. But, yeah, he was all about the Rodeo Goat. Great spot. Tricia, thank you so much for joining us. Some insight. We're going to be watching tomorrow. Love the production that you guys put together. And enjoy the city while you're in town.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, you guys. I appreciate it.
Tricia Whitaker, sideline reporter for Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV. Have you had Rodeo Goat, Joe?
I have. I had the burger there.
Did you? Was it pretty good?
I thought it was pretty good.
I've heard great things. I haven't made my way there.
Great burgers.
Yeah.
Brian's been there too. Of course, yep. Brian's been there.
I can't wait to see Jeremy tomorrow. We were there for the Mexico opening game of the World Cup.
Yeah, you were off.
Yeah,
for real?
You as a surprise weren't with us. Yeah,
I think I was with Beard that day.
It was me, you, and Beard. Yeah.
Josh Beard.
I know what you meant.
Yeah, Josh Beard did the show for you that day.
Yeah, we're in agreement.
Okay. Well, you just had like a big question mark at the end.
Yeah, not your beard, Josh Beard.
He's our beard. 713-780 ESPN. Good stuff from Trisha. I was so hopeful that you talked to the Astros today.
That was a good question. That would have been a nice pull.
It's crazy though that like okay, he's got this, and again, 95% sure he's like completely fine. But he's got the pregame interview with them tomorrow. He's got the bobblehead. He's got the whole weekend of Yordan festivities. Like. Makes me even a little bit more nervous. Mm. He's not going to want to miss it. He's going to be playing through it.
He'll be okay. Cross our fingers.
Didn't Murakami have 6 RBI against the Astros on his bobblehead day?
There's no such thing
Sunday?
As RBI. He might have had 6 RBIs.
I'm just saying.
He did.
If
no, he had a huge game.
Hold,
he had a big game.
Jordan's
in
for 6
night.
RBI.
6 RBIs. I'm going to start asking every respectful journalist that we have on, like, do you say RBI or RBIs?
First question.
We should have a running tracker, yeah.
Every beat writer we'll in the Houston says RBIs. Chandler Rome says RBIs.
You want to ask Big Sarge to find?
Even though he didn't watch the game yesterday. McTaggart uses RBIs. Kawahara uses RBIs. Every decent journalist uses RBIs.
It's not BMAC.
I'm not a journalist.
BMAC. That's fair. We know that, although I'm not a journalist either. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Great stuff from Tricia Whitaker. Great get, Brian. I know you worked hard on that one. Biggest day 2 takeaways from Texans training camp.
You're spicy today, man.
It's the espresso.
The show is so much better when you're not being a turd.
Got out here calling.
I gave him credit.
Out here calling it the silver glove and being
was
the
that
spicy.
Me?
Yeah, you said it twice.
You said it twice. Yeah.
I saw the text line. The Rice Houston baseball, their rivalry, they play for the silver glove.
Oh, okay.
So like that's why I always
really
get them
creative.
Crossed up.
Yeah.
My bad. I screwed up. Put me on Bad Take Boulevard.
So much snark in our show today.
I meant to say silver. I get those confused all the time. Houston Rice play for the silver glove. Yeah. Rangers, Astros play for the silver boot. My bad. That's on me. I'll take the L there.
Well, I didn't know that, so the more you know, Jeremy and Joe.
That's why I screwed it up, though. I do apologize, though. What is it whenever writers, they used to do the corrections or whatever in the back of the paper? This is my correction. Remember, Stat Boy would do it on PTI. Remember?
Yeah, I just don't know what they call it.
I think they called it corrections.
I think it's just correction.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought there was like
although
a fancy
if we're wrong
journalism.
On that, we'll have a correction on the correction. Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN. What were your biggest takeaways, Joe, from day two of Texans training camp? And D'Amico Ryan said something today that might be, and I already look up to D'Amico. I already love D'Amico. You all know that. He said something today that might be my favorite thing that he's ever said. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Text line's roasting me. 713-780-ESPN. We'll get to the D'Amico sound in a minute. The Twitchers demand it. Silver glove, you're about to get clowned. Silver boot, buddy. Silver boot, dude. I didn't realize people got so up in arms about that. How dare I call a silver boot that nobody cares about the silver glove?
Well, they care now.
My goodness. Sheesh. Junkie says, to be fair, Jeremy does lie all the time. What?
I don't think that's fair.
I don't lie.
I don't think that's fair.
Sometimes I'll bluff, but I immediately tell my bluff. I don't lie. I hang my hat on my honesty. That's messed up. I take offense to that one, actually. You've offended me, 4A18. Junkie says that's why Jeffrey Branham isn't a reporter. That's well played.
Jeffrey Branham.
That one's pretty good. Does Branham's doctor prescribe espresso for mommy's wrist? No, it's unrelated. I wish it helped, but it does not. Yonder can play first base if Walker is going on a slump or a rest. I like where your mind's at on that. I just don't think that the Astros are willing to do that. I don't think they view Yonder as a first baseman at all. Like, he never gets reps there. He never takes grounders there. Whenever Christian Walker had the little, like, weird hip thing the other day, like, he wasn't taking grounders at first. I wish they converted him to first base the year that they signed Walker.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like the Astros are not up for that.
No, I think that's long gone.
If it comes back, it would come back. I mean, the earliest it could come back would be next year if they trade Walker,
mm-hmm.
or the year after that. But then he's going to be kind of up.
I was like, he's got to be up soon, isn't he?
I think he's got this year or maybe two more years. But, like, yeah, I think that they've given up on that idea, actually. Yeah, he's got this one and then two more.
Okay.
So it would only be for a year if they didn't trade him. Which, I mean, I guess it's in play, I guess.
I guess, but I don't expect it. I expect someone else to be at first base.
But, I mean, I don't think they like him as a catcher, though. They don't like him defensively. He's a tweener. He's a non-defensive guy.
Yeah, he's on most teams.
Yeah, that's why the Guardians traded him, because they didn't think he could handle – they didn't think he could handle the catcher position defensively, mm-hmm. which they were right. He's not a good defensive catcher. And they didn't think he was going to be able to hit enough to play first, which kind of right.
Yeah, it's that's why I don't think he's going to be long for this team still.
No, I don't think so either. I don't either. He's always been a trade option. He could be a trade option before Monday. He could be a trade option in the offseason if there's an offseason. And then he could just – but he's not going to get a second contract on this team.
No, or he's just going to –
even if they don't trade him.
Yeah, or, yeah, he'll just ride it out and then leave in a couple years.
Yeah. Yep.
I would probably bet on that, actually, at this point.
That's what – I think that would be my – I would probably – if I were handicapping that, I would have that as the betting favorite. Maybe like plus 125, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably have that plus 125. Yordan traded by next season at like plus – 400, and then Yordan traded by Monday at like plus 500.
Did you say Yordan?
I'm in Yiner.
Okay.
This espresso has got my brain.
What just happened?
I'm too caffeinated, man. I'm sorry. I'm in Yiner.
Okay.
Do you think I hit those handicaps all right?
You said plus 500 for Yiner?
Yeah, to be true. Well, I said Yordan, but I meant Yiner.
I know.
To be traded by Monday.
I think it'd be – I'd probably go a little higher than that.
Plus 750?
Yeah.
Okay.
And who was the other one you said, sorry?
No, I meant Yiner the whole time.
Oh, okay.
I might have been saying his name wrong.
Okay.
Yiner by the start of next season, assuming there is a season.
And you said what?
I said plus 400. Maybe I'll move that to plus 500.
Yeah, I think 500 and 750 would be good odds for that one.
Okay.
And I would probably take the plus 500 there.
Okay. All right. Junkie Dusty told you all about Yiner. Not really.
No, he said
Dusty said that Yiner is the future at the catcher position for the Astros and will thank him for it.
Yeah,
Dusty was wrong on that.
Yeah, yes. Dusty was not correct.
See, that's where everybody gets confused about, like, oh, Dusty was right about Yiner. No, Dusty said that Yiner was the catcher of the future and he was going to be great.
He's not. He's good. He can be okay, but.
The best Yiner is actually during Dusty's Yiner.
Yeah.
That was the best version of Yiner. He's actually gone backwards a bit. What was your top thing from Texans training camp day?
Oh, it's glazing season. That's my biggest takeaway.
Are you not a fan of glazing?
I think it's because of a video that you put out that you commented on that everyone's freaking out over this pass over the middle for no reason because it's so fast. But CJ Stroud threw a hospital ball today, and I'm like, are we just ignoring this? Like, you're not, but everyone else is just ignoring. I love training camp because everything is just like the best thing ever. He's so fast. He's skinny, and it's like, dude, he would have got. Was it Nico?
It was Nico, and Toa Toa was like. Loading up.
Yeah, Toa Toa would have put him in a hospital. End of the season.
Loading up. What I really enjoyed about it, though, yeah, Jonathan Alexander posted the video. He's like, he hits Nico on a quick slant, which, well, whatever. Like, they're posting videos, content. Like, I'm not shaming him at all.
Yeah,
like,
you got to post what you're allowed to post.
Yeah, like, I wasn't going after him at all. Like, I'm just saying that, oh, that's a hospital ball. You know, like, it was like a conversation about what I thought was a good post. But then, you know what's really funny is the Houston Texans posted the same exact video from a different angle, which I think actually magnifies my point even more.
I haven't seen the Texans
angle. But people are arguing with me about it. Like, that's not a hospital ball. Bro, you don't know ball if you think that's not a hospital ball. He catches the ball. Henry Toa Toa is literally loading up. But the reason that he doesn't hit him is because it's non-contact. They're not in pads. Toa Toa literally had to gallop out of the way to avoid contact. He would have killed him.
Yeah.
And look, I'm not blaming really Stroud here either. This was more of like a counter opinion to the glazing.
Yes, and that's why I brought it up. It's just like everything is so great. And I'm like, man, can we just take a deep breath through training camp a little bit?
Some fantasy guy yesterday posted a video of Jaden Higgins like winning a route against Toa Toa. He's like, look at Higgins winning separation. It's like, bro, that's one of the worst cover linebackers in the NFL.
Yes.
You can't be dunking that he won a route against Henry Toa Toa when he's got separation from Henry Toa Toa.
Yeah.
Like this is what's annoying about training camp. There are things that are real, right? There are things that are not real. But people have a very difficult time of being able to figure out what is what.
Well, see, for me, it's like nothing's real until they put pads on.
Well, I think there's some things that can be real. Like, you do see one-on-one matchups. Like, you see receiver versus corner.
Yeah.
Like, if you had a rookie receiver that's beating the best corner in the NFL routinely, that's legit.
Yeah,
that's real.
Kind of like when Lassiter, like, really that first training camp right away was locking the guys down.
That's real.
And yeah, sure. But outside of DB corner, I mean, there's no pressure on the quarterbacks.
Yep.
The most insane thing, I think, is like when they see wide receivers who run to the end zone, but there's no contact. And it's like, well, that's just what they're just doing what the drill is. D'Amico's just telling them to run to the end zone no matter what. And it's and they're like, well, this guy looks great. I'm like, guys, no one's trying.
73-yard touchdown.
No one's trying to stop him. Let's wait till there's some tackling here, and then we're okay.
Maybe that's what we do. Maybe we do real or no real.
Ooh, I like that.
Real or not real? Is this real or is this not real? Does this matter or does this not matter? Look, like the video that we were posting today that went kind of argumentative. Stroud, they're doing 7-on-7 stuff. Stroud's in the shotgun. He takes the snap, throws the ball quickly. DJ had it. It wasn't about this, but he posted something that was different, but I think it's related to this. It was talking about how they're working on quick game today.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where, like, I'm not even really blaming Stroud. Like, they were obviously working on getting rid of the football as quickly as possible, right? So they're probably drilling him on whenever you see a seven-man rush and you have to get rid of the football quickly. Like, they're telling Stroud to do this. Mm-hmm. I'm not blaming Stroud. And it's clearly that this is what they're working on. But if that were to happen in a game, Nico's dead.
Yes.
Nico's he gets his head taken off by the linebacker. And I'm not blaming Stroud because this is like the drill today. This is why this one's not real.
Yeah, and that's where it's – I think that's where it's like what DJ is talking about, where he's self-timing Stroud to see how quick the ball is getting out. That is information that's worth, you know, gathering. Like, okay, like why are they working on this? Is it because last year they felt – that did not happen enough in the offense. And that's something that we saw, like, Tom Brady excel at in the Patriots offense that the Texans are trying to run. As the ball's out, it's, you know, it's very, very quick to Welker and Edelman and these guys. So how are the Texans going to implement that? Well, they're working on it right away. That is interesting to me. The actual of, like, throwing the ball is what's not interesting.
No.
Like what they're working on, trying to figure out why they're working on it, and then hearing what the coaches and players are saying after practice is the most interesting to me.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, it wasn't like this unbelievable play by Stroud hitting the receiver on, you know, in stride on a 5-yard slant. When if you were to make a, you know, opinion about it, he's getting Nico killed there. But I believe that drill during 7-on-7 was to get rid of the football like in under 2 seconds.
Yeah.
You know?
That's interesting.
It's critical. I think it's something. I mean, something that I want to see. Like, you know what I always say? I say that a quarterback should have a plan for the worst possible scenario.
Mm-hmm.
You look up and no one blocked the defender, you should have a plan. Before the snap, before you touch the football, you should have a plan for a defender immediately in your face. And then if he's not immediately in your face, okay, then you start your progressions. Like every good quarterback does. And yeah. I give the benefit of the doubt that Stroud does. He just like hasn't. I mean, Stroud's been mostly good. I don't want to sit here and turn this into me dogging Stroud all the time.
No, I don't think. I think it's more we're dogging the Glazers today.
Yeah.
Both our sweats of the days aren't extras.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention our sweat of the day. Yeah. Did y'all let me play the tennis one or no?
I don't remember.
I don't think y'all let me. Y'all didn't say anything about it, so I took it as a no. Yeah,
we're
on the Cubs.
We don't know anything about tennis. If you want to play a tennis sweat of the day, you can. I'll give you permission.
I mean, y'all didn't say anything.
I don't know the guy's names.
It was a woman, so.
Women's names.
I do not know.
What are the sweats here?
We had Cubs money line. And the under, they're in the top of the 10th, 2-2. And then we have White Sox money line. They were 0-0 through 9. And the Yankees now lead 1-0 in the bottom of the 10th. The White Sox are up.
We need some Chicago runs.
Yeah, we got a runner on third with one out.
It's funny, both of our sweats are Chicago games. Yeah. That's interesting.
That was Brian's doing, not mine. Just for the record.
Brian was just like, I agree.
No, I said, I agree.
Oh, that was Brian that said that?
Yeah, Brian said, and I said, I support these.
Brian said, oh. I thought that was you.
Huh. Did you not read our text messages?
I read the text message. I just didn't look at the name. I just assumed it was you because it was like pro Chicago. I was like, oh, okay. That must be Brian. Anyway, 713-780-ESPN. We'll get to D'Amico, what he had to say today. Some D'Amico sound for our junkies, the Twitchers. They love it. But D'Amico said something today that might be my most favoritest thing that D'Amico's ever said. It's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.